We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we're for the people of Missouri. We're for brewmasters, stockbrokers, beauty queens, and truck drivers. Whatever you do, if you're a Missourian, we're for you. We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we've got Missouri covered.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati, now joined by Mike Boddicker. Good morning, Mike. How are you?
Very good this morning.
Are you?
Yeah, I really am.
You seem chipper when you bounced in here.
Yes.
I'm not used to that. What's going on?
I don't know.
What's gotten into you?
But
gotta
I don't
something.
Know.
Is it because Mondesi's back?
I knew you were going to bring up Mondesi.
He sure knows how to bring it down, doesn't he?
No, that's a good thing because, you know, you're talking about the football and being patient with Willie Gay and, you know, with the injuries. And so I figured you're going to be patient with Mondesi, right?
What?
Chief?
He was taking grounders at third base before the game.
No, that's a good thing.
I like that.
That's a good thing.
Well, let me tell you a better thing. And
tell
you
me.
Can come in here and you can, instead of pat me on the back, Jake, you come in here and pat me on the ass.
Whoa.
That's what I deserve. You remember?
Wait till you get my agent. You don't have one.
Well,
you can't pat nothing.
Oh, a Jake or a ass?
I know. I have an ass.
A couple weeks ago.
I'm bitten off.
I asked this of Mike McFarland. I brought this up a couple times. And yesterday we got into this conversation about what do you do with MJ Melendez. Do you remember the question I asked Mac a couple weeks ago? I said, what are the possibilities? You think he can play third base? There's maybe a little up in the air who the third base of the future is. We've seen in the past some catchers make a successful transition to third base. Could that be possible? And Max said, hey, that I'd be open to anything.
And they just drop to their knees and block it.
I mean, it's right. there are some similarities, right? Like you don't have to be as sure-handed at third base as you do at short because you can knock the ball down and usually still have time to make a throw. The ball's coming in hot corner. Got to have a good arm, right? You got to be willing to throw your body in front of the ball.
You know the first guy I think of, and maybe he's not, but Todd Zeal.
Yeah, there wasn't a lot of them though. That's the thing.
Right.
You don't see a lot of them do that.
Well, did you see who started at third base for Omaha last night?
No, tell
MJ
me.
Melendez.
Ah.
Look at Jake's face. He didn't know. Look at his face.
Yeah.
You look at his face.
I am.
Okay.
Jake, respond.
That's awesome. I mean, that's fantastic. I mean, that...
Yes, it is. Absolutely.
That's smart is what it is.
Yes. Last night...
Yeah, Salvi's not going anywhere.
No, he's
right.
not.
Right. And this team, this offense, isn't so stacked where... You need to find a spot for MJ Melendez, who tied the minor league lead for home runs last night. He played third base for the first time, tied for the hit home run number 34, and also walked twice.
You got to find a spot for this kid,
right?
Yeah.
And so there you go. They're going to be creative. I love it, and that's because it hasn't happened a bunch, but it's happened.
Yep.
If a kid's a good athlete. And you have an opportunity to get him in the lineup at another position, you at least got to take it out for a test drive, and that's what they're
Alex
doing.
Alex Gordon, third base to the outfield.
But I was just kidding.
You can transition. Yeah. If you're an athlete, you can transition to other positions.
I love the fact that he hit a home run last night, too, because sometimes you worry that a guy, if he's changing positions, it's gonna carry over to the plate.
Home run and two walks.
You know? And he went out there and produced at the plate anyway.
Yeah.
Despite probably spending most of his mental energy working on or thinking about
But
defense.
If he's at third base, where does Mondesi go?
Mondesi becomes a super utility
okay.
guy.
Okay. Oh, okay. Right. So that was my idea that I floated, that be a super utility guy and to move around, right? And so Sam Mellinger, who... He talks to people. He's in the know. He tweeted out yesterday. Boy, I was very excited about all this stuff. He said, this is Melendez's first start away from catcher or DH. A lot of positional versatility between him, Witt Jr., Lopez, Merrifield, Dozier, and Mondesi, in parentheses he put, who is going to move around next year.
Yeah.
Right. That's right. They're listening.
Does that mean he's going to be traded and move from team to team?
Maybe, but they're not going to sit there and pin their hopes on him being the everyday shortstop or the everyday third baseman.
No.
But the right way to approach it is have him play multiple positions, get him in, get in where he fits in, and if he physically can't handle it, you're not upsetting the apple cart. You're using him as a super utility to move around, and maybe he stays healthy. Maybe you're able to squeeze 400 bats out of him that way. And if not, then you're not screwing up the entire process by building everything around him, hoping he's going to stay healthy. I think it's the perfect thing to do.
Yeah.
What would you do with him?
Ooh, you don't really don't want to ask me that.
Well,
that's best case scenario. Best case scenario is put him utility.
Try him out in the outfield, second base, shortstop.
Oh God, not in the outfield.
Third
run into a wall and be on the IL forever.
People seem to think in the outfield that he's protected from injury.
No.
You know what the bottom line is? He's not protected from injury anywhere in the game.
He'd take off for a ball in the gap and blow a hamstring.
Well,
and
I know, right?
Think about all the injuries he's had.
But hopefully it won't. But my point is, I'm very, very happy. Like, Mellinger puts that in his tweet because someone told him that.
Trust me, yeah. The Royals have been thinking about it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's the right thing. So, yesterday, I couldn't be happier with it.
I like that scenario.
I couldn't be happier with it.
I would love to see Bobby Witt Jr. at short. Monday's the third. Yeah. Nicky Lopez has earned his right to be on this team and play second base.
And he could be a gold glove second. He should have won a gold glove
second base. He's hitting around 300.
Right.
Yeah, he is.
And so I'm good with it. But just to me, and you can be creative. And then, if Witt goes on the IL or if he needs a break, then Nicky can handle short.
Mm-hmm.
You've got guys who can play multiple positions. I just love the idea that two things that I've been hoping that would happen. And who knows, because I'm looking at Melendez's first throw, it was an error. But then he made a nice play on a catch and a foul ball. It's night one, but the point is, we had this conversation for 10 minutes. What do you do with Melendez?
Right.
You can't keep him down at AAA.
No,
he's hitting 34 home runs. No. They're giving him a test drive at third base. Mellinger intimates
third base, first base. Either one of those two are fine.
Right. But see, you got Nick Prado.
Yeah.
And so that's and then you go now you can daydream about it.
We need those spots filled.
What have you got?
And center field.
Nick Prado at first, Nicky Lopez at second, Bobby Witt Jr. at short, and if MJ Melendez proves to be good enough at third base, you've got Hunter Dozier who's now hitting like he should have been. He can move around. Whit Merrifield can play wherever you want him. There is a lot of versatility and flexibility, and if Mondesi can be a super utility guy, again, not going to count on it. That would be icing on the cake I'm trying to bake here. That excites me.
If he wants to put in the work at third base, he could be a good third baseman.
Melendez?
Yes. I saw Wade Boggs was a terrible third baseman in the minor leagues. Awful. Just awful. And he worked his tail off and became a pretty damn good third baseman.
I'm just very excited by these developments, Nate Buchanan.
Me too. And I think
we need, with the young pitchers we got coming up, we need the offensive punch.
Right.
We definitely need that punch.
You need, we need Witt in this lineup, you need Prado in this lineup, you need Melendez in this lineup.
Yep.
You need all three of them. They're not coming up this year, looks like. Next year.
That's good.
That's fine.
We're not doing anything this year anyway.
But
so.
You're talking about, Conine's kid's hurt, and so there's a realistic chance that in all the minors, the Royals have the top three home run hitters in minor league baseball. And none of them are nothing against Chris Hatcher, but like Bluma mentioned, or guys that are Ryan McBroom.
Yeah,
you don't take too much because he's a 4A player.
Yeah,
but the three guys that could end up being the top three home run hitters in minor league baseball are all top 100 prospects, 21 years old. Let's go, Mike Boddicker.
Yes, I'm ready for next
year.
They
made me in a good mood. Now you need to quit being frumpy, grumpy. Let's go.
He's got his Polish shirt on. He can't help it.
I love this. So I'm going to call you back to a conversation I had on the field at Kauffman Stadium with Dayton Moore early in his tenure, when the Royals were really bad and didn't have much talent. Well, and Billy Butler
he's been here longer than 10 years.
That was a lot of years of that. Yeah.
Tenure.
And nah, yeah, tenure.
No. It was about 10 years.
Right.
It was about 10 years ago. But he was talking about, so Billy Butler was like the only productive hitter on the team at the time. And he said, you know, the problem is I love Billy, but we're not going to draft guys like this because he can only do one thing.
That's
and,
it.
And we need to have an organization filled with baseball.
So players. You wouldn't take a Mike Sweeney.
So, well, I thought at the time, that's kind of nuts. You're talking about the one guy on your team that's actually producing. Yeah. You don't want him. You know, like, that's the guy and you hey, don't want.
You know what? I kind of disagree with that. There's nothing wrong with having that one guy.
One guy.
One guy.
One
team
guy.
That can just flat out
yeah.
rake.
Right.
Yeah. I'd take Mike Sweeney
yeah.
every day.
And But I think that Dayton's point was we need good baseball players.
Oh, we do.
You know, and that
he's
was
right.
something like that Allard Baird used to do. We talked about this. It always kind of drove me nuts with Allard Baird. Remember when the team, when they traded Carlos Beltran, we need a third baseman, we need a catcher, and we need a pitcher. And it's like, no, you need talent. You're a 100-loss team. You don't have good enough baseball players. Like, you need to stop acting like, oh, we're two pieces away from winning. When it comes to MJ Melendez, he's a good baseball player.
What about Allard Baird, though? Tell me more.
Allard, this is Jim Rose.
Yes, Jim.
Kirk Robinson wants to know why you're running off all of his good ball players.
And it's...
okay.
You still there, Allard?
Yes, I'm still here.
But it's...
I played that for Mike, sorry. You like those references, like his names being thrown around?
Oh, yeah. I do. I enjoyed that.
The point I'm trying to make, though, is that, like, Whit Merrifield's a good baseball player.
Yeah.
You can play him at second base, and he helps your team. You can play him in right field, and he helps. You find a spot for that guy on the field, and because he's a good athlete and a good baseball player, you have options there. You know, and Nicky Lopez is a good baseball player.
Well, Nicky.
You know, he can play second base really well. He can play shortstop if you need him to. So you have some options there where you can move things. Bobby Witt Jr., by all counts, is a good baseball player.
Like he's a stallion.
We want him at short, but if he had to play third, he'd be really good at third.
Any place you put him, he's an athlete.
And so, like, and I think that it's like with MJ Melendez, he's such a good defensive catcher from what we hear that you feel like, yeah, he could probably go play third base if he really commits to it and turn himself into a service.
34 home runs. I want him in my lineup, please.
So it's
come on, Jake.
It's just like, you know, I think they feel like they've got some good baseball players. And then, you know, instead of being like, well, he's a catcher and we already got a catcher, somebody's going to have to go. Or maybe there's a way to get both those baseball players on the field at the same time. And I like that approach.
And that's why, I'm with Mike. So if you're dangling Edgar Martinez at me, like, hey, give me a guy who can just hit. I'm good.
Right. You know, if he's good enough.
Talk to you later.
Yeah.
He can
just
rake,
in general,
he,
the way,
I want him on this team.
But in terms of like the way you want to fill your system up.
You're giving me a vintage Hal McRae. Bring him over.
Right.
But like for this team and that the way this, I don't want a DH.
Right.
That's why like a guy like Carlos Santana doesn't need to be on this team moving forward.
Right.
Because like what are you going to do with him? Because I want Prado at first because J.J. Bacola said he's the best defensive prospect he's seen ever at first base. So I would think that I want to see him at first, right? Mm-hmm. And you've got all these other guys looking for spots. Then you need that D. When you have this amount of offensive talent, you're trying to figure out where the pieces fit, that's when you need that DH spot to be able to rotate them through and move them in there. Well, Salvi needs a DH, or Melendez can DH, right?
Yeah, Salvi needs to be doing that. He's very good at it, too.
Like, I used to bristle the idea when they'd say, well, we're going to leave the DH spot open, but you didn't really have enough talent because, you know, now you need all the hitters you can get. In this situation now, when you've got this coming up, okay then. I like having the DH open because you could utilize that to get these bats in the lineup.
And give, like you said, and give Salvi some rest.
That's the thing. You look at Dozier and Salvi.
Dozier.
They thrive at the DH spot. Not a lot of guys can do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's nice to see Salvi thrive at that spot also, because now you can give him a couple days off. You know, here and there, he doesn't have to be behind the dish all the time. And even though he wants to be, and I love watching him back there. Gosh, it's fun. But, you know, age-wise and innings-wise, probably good to give him a day off here and there.
And with the way he's hitting, Yeah. You know, it's that plays at DH.
Yeah.
I mean, he's become such a great offensive player. So, and it's just the game is evolving in that regard a little bit, where now they people used to think that if you played more than one position, that was somehow a knock against you. Like you couldn't.
You were a utility guy.
Yeah. And there's no way you could play two different positions incredibly well. You had to focus on one to be great at it. And you start to look around, and there are versatility is coveted in the league now by certain teams, by some of the smart teams.
That's why Robin Yount was so good. Well, you could put Robin anywhere,
right?
And he was going to be great.
Well, look at what Ben Zobrist did for this team in the World Series, right?
Second base, outfield.
And you didn't feel like, oh, he's playing second base, we're going to take a step back defensively today. Or, oh, he's playing, you know, we got him in left field, he's going to, you know, we're going to struggle in left. He played both positions just fine. And he hit from both places. So, and remember, there was a couple people in town like, well, they just got a utility, they traded for a utility guy. It's like, no, they didn't.
They traded for a really important piece to win a World Series. But they
did. Yeah. A really good baseball player.
Sometimes you do that. If you're that close, you trade for that piece.
But it used to be if you didn't have your position locked down, it's because you weren't good enough to be an everyday player.
I mean, look what the Padres are doing with Tatis Jr.
Yeah.
I mean, he's been in the outfield 13 starts now since he's been back.
It hasn't been really pretty either.
No,
some of it. It's not great. But
the point is that they're moving him around. I mean, they're trying to find a way to keep him healthy and keep that bat in the lineup, because, I mean, that's...
And a lot of times, everybody say, oh, you moved him out there and he hasn't... Look good, because you just moved him out there.
Right. And they traded Adam Frazier when they didn't need him. Just they're acquiring bats, and then they'll figure it out later.
Right.
You know, like with Melendez, I want him up here. Let's figure it out, and they're figuring it out.
Well, we think they are.
Well, they're trying. They could just stick their heads in the sand, and they could have gone the rest of the season.
I'm all for it.
My point is, whatever it takes, because it's
all going to boil down to these young pitchers.
And you'd rather have Triple A, and then Tatis is learning at the major league level. That's different.
That's hard to do. But the whole point of it is they started Melendez at third base last night.
I love it.
They're trying.
Yep. Let's see how we can fit these things.
They're trying. And then Mellinger's tweet suggesting that
shows me that. Dayton and JJ are doing whatever it takes.
Do you think all the credit should go to this show or just some of it?
To this show?
Because JJ comes on, they listen. Yeah. Is it?
Well.
Do we take, I don't, not all.
You don't press him hard enough. I think I would press JJ harder.
Like press him, like physically?
Yeah, no, well, just ask him tougher questions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Squeezing.
I like JJ. He's a great guy.
My point is there's smart baseball people out there that don't work in Major League Baseball. There are good ideas that just because someone outside the organization,
like Nate, you're
not in baseball right now, but nobody knows more about baseball than you.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of people know
but
more
there's
than me.
There's things you suggest about handling pitchers or working with pitchers that I wish that they would listen to. And so
they listen, they just won't do it.
So. I would do it. If I had a pitcher, I'd listen to you. But the game has
changed so much, they really can't listen to the stuff I say.
But they were, you know, hey, they were dragging their feet on this Mondesi thing.
Oh, yeah.
And to where it's just, you know, I'm glad.
But we've been talking about it for quite a long time here.
But I'm glad that they're doing it. And we're not the only ones. There's been plenty of people suggesting good ideas. But a couple of the ideas that have been floated on this show, Melendez third base, and, you know,
It shows some flexibility on their part.
I want Mondesi to be a super utility guy.
It shows that they're not being so dogmatic about something that they just refuse to look at different options. But I would say this, though, that part of the reason they're in this position, again, goes back to their priorities when they acquire talent. JJ's told us several times, they can't have enough shortstops in the system. They can't have enough catchers in the system. JJ, I know, instructs his scouts when they go out and look at amateurs. If the kid's a shortstop,
he's their best player, best athlete.
You bump him up by 10 points.
That's right.
On the scouts,
you have to,
because that guy, if he can play short, he can play anywhere on the field.
Shortstop's the toughest position to me.
Yep.
Because I mean, there is so much going on that you have to know, and you have to be able to get to balls, and you have to have that athletic ability to do stuff. Third base, I love third base. That's what I played. Because you react.
Right.
Shortstops, you just can't react.
Let me answer Stephen's question, though.
Please.
I missed the question.
The question, do we get some? No, we get all the credit.
Man, we should take all the credit.
The show should take all the credit.
That's a good producer right there.
I'm fine with that.
That is a good producer.
I've got my Border Patrol shirt on this morning. Just,
you know, he gets it.
And I hope this morning JJ's not listening.
Yeah, right. In reality, we deserve nothing.
But you know, there's no I in team, but there's an I in radio.
We can take some of the credit, even though it was probably their thought process.
Now, let me hear. So this is a perfect segue into you telling me what we need to see from Jackson Kowar, who will start tonight. This is a very important few weeks for Jackson Kowar.
Just relax and pitch. He looked like a skittish cat on a hot tin roof when he pitched the first time.
Well, that's no good at all.
No, it's not really good. He looks almost scared. And if you're scared here, you can't be here. It just doesn't work that way. So, no, just relax and pitch. And he'll be fine. His stuff is there. Tremendous stuff. The most surprising thing to me is his mechanics are as better than anybody else's on these young guys. And the only thing that could hurt him is being scared. So if he just goes out there and locates, his stuff's so good, you just have to locate. And if you watch his first time up here, it was like, oh my gosh, he's all over the place. How is that possible? That's because he was rushing, he was nervous, he was scared. He didn't belong. That tells me you don't belong if you're scared, and it gets to you that much. Second time around, hey, just go out and pitch. Just be yourself, pitch, and let the chips fall where they may, and you'll find out real quick if you belong here. And if he just relaxes and pitches, he does belong here. His stuff's that good.
Can you think of a guy that you played with that came up and was scared and didn't handle it mentally the right way and then worked it out and then it wasn't a problem? I mean, I'm sure you've seen that over the years where a guy just, you know, scared to...
God, I was in so many teams and so many different people. Hell, I can't even remember names now.
You never dealt with that? Like when you were a rookie, when you first couple times on the mound?
No, not really. I really wasn't scared or nervous because I'd been... Well, I was going to run for mayor in Rochester, New York. Wow. I'd been AAA for so long.
Would you have won?
I might have.
Yeah.
I might have, because I was pitching really well there.
Because you were like, when Kowar, like to your point, when that first start, just watching him on TV, it was uncomfortable.
It was. It hurt me. I know what the kid's capable of doing.
Right.
And watching him, and it's like, whoa.
Yeah, I remember I was
you don't
watching
belong, it. Kiddo. You don't belong yet.
We were super excited.
Go get your act together and figure it out. And
right.
That might have been a great thing for him. I don't know.
I remember Sue sat down and watched it. She goes, why is he so nervous? I said, well, this is his first start.
Oh.
And she goes, do they all act this way? I go, no, they do not.
No. He was not ready.
No.
He was not ready. And I saw it right from the get-go. I went, oh, gosh, this is going to get ugly. And but, I mean, you know, my first spring training was a big league spring training. I went to Major League Camp. My first spring training ever was Major League Camp, and the guys made me feel like I belonged.
And you had some, like, who were some of the guys that were there in that camp?
It was Palmer and McGregor and Flanagan and Dennis Martinez. And
some big names,
man. You had some studs there.
Yeah.
You better act right.
They didn't just hate you the whole time and make you feel like...
No, not really. Well, Stanhouse did. Don Stanhouse. I love Stanley now, but it was tough. Then we had Ross Grims. We had a bunch of guys who were veterans, and they could have really just dumped on me, but they didn't.
Who took you under their wing?
Palmer.
Jim Palmer.
Yeah.
Well, right off the bat. That'll play.
Yeah. And then I remember McGregor telling me, whatever Palmer does, you do. Follow him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well,
if he's
out running lines, you go out and run lines. If he's over at the little field working on defense, you go and work on defense.
So then why didn't you take that advice when you had a chance to take over for Palmer as the jockey underwear model?
McGregor told you to do whatever he does. On the field.
Right.
On the field.
You didn't say that.
No.
Jake,
on the field.
He's qualifying it, right or wrong?
No, not on the field.
You messed up.
It seemed like you followed his advice up to a point, and then you just abandoned all your principles.
How much do they offer you for that, by the way? You better pull it
a lot.
Free underwear? Give me an idea.
No.
Ballpark?
That's money you can't get back, sir.
No, it's water over the dam.
Seven figures?
It was a lot of money back then. No,
People that don't know, Jim Palmer did the jockey underwear commercials. He's just in a pair of underwear. You know,
yeah,
very happy,
model.
Put his leg up, looking at you like, here's my underwear. You know, look at me. And so then when he was done, who approached you about being the new jockey underwear model? We're not dealing with him. The agent?
My agent.
He said, they're looking
deal for you here, buddy.
They like the way, like what are they? They like the way
they
you
thought
go, you know,
that, yeah, well, I,
you're a good looking man.
I had hair. It was black hair. It was nice.
You had tasted postseason success?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So did you think about it?
I just won 20 games in 84. So.
You had the physique for the job.
Right.
Yeah.
Rugged good looks.
Yeah.
I wouldn't go right to that.
Yeah.
But did you consider
I have a face made for radio.
We've seen your baseball card.
Was it a non-starter? Did you at least think? Did you talk to people?
No, I did not start. No. No, nothing. Done. Couldn't do it. Didn't have enough socks to shut stuff down there.
who took over?
I don't know who did. Don't care.
Well, I'd like to revisit that sometime.
No, I do not want to revisit it. Right. It's done. Over.
Seven figures?
I look in the mirror every day and I realize, man, that was a good decision. That was a really good
decision. A couple decades ago, I don't know about that.
No.
We'll take a break. We've got Mike Boddicker in studio on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Love Chicago.
Unfortunately, the Royals lost last night to Cleveland 7-2. For some reason, Amad Rosario decided to go 5-for-5 with an inside the park home run, and
it was not played well in right field. Yeah. That ball was not played well. Yeah.
What are you gonna do?
Play it better.
Edward Olivares.
Yeah. He didn't look. Looked like he got hit with a right cross when ran into the wall. He stumbled backwards and fell, and I went, oh, boy, this is not good.
Jake Junis made his return.
He didn't throw that bad.
Okay. Six strikeouts, and I know
he left two guys on, and that's when you hold your breath. And I mean, basically, it could have been one run. It's just that happens.
Salvi did not hit a home run, so the streak comes to an end. But,
First time up, I thought he got it. He went down and hit it, and it was that line drive to left. I thought, get some carry, but no.
But since we talked to you last, he had the streak of five straight games with a home run. He had back-to-back games with a grand slam. He had eight home runs on one road trip. He has 38 home runs now, more than any other American League catcher ever. I don't know what to ask you. It's just unbelievable. You've seen all the greats.
The most amazing thing to me is the teams kept pitching to him. Now, who is behind Salvi that scares you that much you're still going to pitch to Salvi? Because if you walk Salvi, he clogs up the bases, right? So what? It's not baseball like I knew it. Guys are still trying to challenge him when he's hot like that. That makes no sense at all. It was fun watching, but I'd shake my head every time. It was like, you're still going to pick? Okay. Boom. Gone.
What would you do with Salvi if you're facing
him? I would have walked him.
Nope.
I would have walked him every time if he's that hot.
What if your manager said, no, you're not? Pitch to that man.
Oh, I can pitch to him where he's not going to hit it.
Would you challenge him at that point?
Nope.
Okay.
Nope. No reason to challenge him. Not somebody that hot. You never, never. I was dumbfounded that they kept throwing to him. There's nobody in the Royals lineup that's going to follow him that I'm going to rather pitch to whoever's behind Salvi than face him when he's that hot.
I mean, he's had a couple He had a homestand earlier this year where he just seemingly carried the team for the entire homestand. Remember that? The first half of the season?
You know, they were talking yesterday about, I think Matheny was talking with Ryan. And he said, well, you know, the team played. I said, well, no, Salvi carried that team throughout that road trip.
Yeah. And so he's had a homestand.
That would have been a whole different road trip without Salvi.
Yeah. He's had a homestand and a road trip this year where he carried the team.
Yeah.
Now, the thing is, back when the Royals were good, they had five or six different guys that could go on stretches like that.
Exactly.
Carry the team for a while. And he's
like Melendez and Prado. And
yeah. And
Bobby Witt Jr. You know,
Bobby Witt Jr.
Maybe those
Bobby
guys
Witt
will
Jr.
be able to do that, too. But right now, like, I just, it hit me yesterday because for me, like, where the Royals are right now at 13 games under 500 this late in the season, I always have the game on. But I'm usually, like, last night I was cooking dinner while I had the game on. So I'm not, like, sitting there watching
every
single
pitch. I do what
you
do, but last night I plopped down. I was tired. I was from working. And I plopped down. I said, I got a glass of wine my
there
wife
you go.
Had poured. And I sat down with a glass of wine and watched the game.
That sounds nice. But to me, like, and that's what baseball is. That, you know, they call it the great pastime because you pass the time while the game's on. If you're out doing yard work, you're watching the game, you're listening to the game, whatever. So anyways, when Salvi's up,
boom,
you stop what you're doing. Like, I was in the middle of cooking dinner, Salvi at bat, I'm watching the Salvi at bat.
Yep.
You know, like, I can...
Let it burn.
I can listen to the Santana at bat in the background, and then if he does something, I'll turn and watch it.
But in the USA, very rich people like to drink a wine. It is like a Kazaki wine, but not made from fermented horse's urine. I go to meet Mississippi gentlemen to find more. Chequi.
Is that where you got your wine from?
Yeah, what kind of wine?
Horse's urine.
What kind of wine did you have?
Fermented.
No, I was just out in Napa.
Yeah, oh boy.
And so we
got a lot of good stuff.
Very rich people.
Yeah, a lot of wine sent to our house. So it was very good.
Little wine buzz during the Royals game, huh?
Yeah.
There we go. That's what we're talking
about. Hey, I wasn't going anywhere. I can sit.
Right. Did you stay up for the whole game?
Yes, I did.
Sometimes I sip on wine.
It was really hard watching the last inning.
Yeah.
Because that left-hander that they brought in, I'm sorry, you got a 7-run lead and you threw 7 straight balls.
He's being careful.
Come on. You got a 7 ERA. I wonder why you have a 7 ERA.
Now his ERA
challenge somebody, for God's sake.
Now his ERA is 6.66.
Jeez.
You better watch your mouth around this guy.
Gosh, it was just painful watching.
Damian Thorne on the mound there.
It was awful. I get the willies. I told my wife, I got to shut this off. I can't take it anymore. I can't. And I flip over to the news and flip it back. I'm like, okay, I'll watch a little bit more.
Yeah.
Another ball one, ball two. I'm like, I can't take this. And I'd shut it off. It was a good game watching last night as far as pitching wise. I mean, their guy, what's the deal with their guy that can just, he's like 8 or 9-0 against the Royals. And he's got a 5-something ERA with everybody else. I mean, that's, what is the deal with why we can't hit that guy? He kills us.
I don't know. But the Indians or Cleveland has, I mean, how many is that in a row?
Oh, yeah, it's
9 in a row? I mean, you finally start to play competitive baseball against the White Sox, but now you're
getting
obliterated
by Cleveland.
Yeah. It's
weird how that works.
I just feel like those things are a little bit like anomalies, you know. It kills you because of the division.
I would say it's because they just came off a monster road trip and a West Coast flight back here and then a dragging off day and, you know, be a little flat.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
Plesac's had their number though too.
He has.
I mean, there's times when it's like you talk about momentum and energy and life and being flat and all that stuff. It's amazing how, like, a stud pitcher can do that to you.
Yeah.
You know, or just a guy that you have a tough time hitting or a bad day at the plate.
They have a tough time with him. They have a tough time with him. I don't.
But it is weird because, like you said, last year, that's why I feel like this stuff is anomalies a little bit, because last year was the White Sox, like you said, Stephen. They couldn't beat the White Sox ever. This year they're 8-8 against them.
Yeah.
You know, so, like, how do you explain that?
Tony La Russa.
But the White Sox are better this year than they were last year. You know,
not
so
against us.
Not against the Royals, but
that's right. Matheny's got
small
Larusa's
sample
number.
Size. Small sample size.
Mike Boddicker is our guest. Javier Baez has now apologized, but I'm curious what you thought about Frankie Lindor and Javi Baez getting together and deciding, hey, these fans are booing us. What we'll do is we'll give them the thumbs down whenever we have a good play so we can boo them right back because we don't like being booed. Because, you know, Javi Baez has had to put up with the boos from the Mets fans for almost 4 weeks.
Yeah,
so that's a lot for a guy to have to deal with.
Yeah. Play better. They won't boo you.
Did that make you mad?
Yeah, it did. It did. People have the right to come out and boo.
Even though it's New York?
Yeah, even though it's New York, which I can't stand.
You didn't want to give them the thumbs down ever?
No.
But doesn't that kind of, like, that's why they want to play New York.
Actually, it was Boston that chucked the battery. Boston, I got hit by a 9-volt battery. And Chicago, I got hit by a piece of concrete.
In the bullpen?
Yeah, warming up.
Someone swung a chain at you in New York?
That was in New York, yeah. Okay. They threatened to kill me
and I didn't move. And you didn't want to give them a thumbs down?
No, I just scurried back into the hotel, the Grand Hyatt.
That wasn't from a fan. That was just out on the street.
That was just out in the street. That was just normal New York stuff.
Like baseball. Maybe that guy was a big baseball fan.
I mean, it wasn't like in the stands.
Can I show you? This is Javi Baez trying
to... Lindor trying to explain
what he was doing and apologizing, right?
No.
And I don't know if you see this. I feel like this is Jake's spirit animal.
I love him. There's a kid behind.
Right there, just over Lindor's shoulder, the whole time,
thumbs down.
Yeah. Boo, during the entire interview.
Yeah.
That kid's going to grow up to be Jake.
People pay a lot of money to come out and watch a product on the field, to be entertained, okay? Lindor... Baez, they're making millions of dollars, right?
Baez making $11.7 million.
Yeah, so seriously, you're going to worry about that? Go out and be better. They won't boo you.
Clearly they are.
Jeez. I'm sorry. No, I don't get that. The fans have a right to boo, and there's a lot of times I deserve to be booed. I stunk. I sucked. And the fans are usually pretty good because I was honest. When I did an interview or whatever, if I stunk, I told them. You know, there was no excuses. I was just pathetic that day. So normal fans appreciate it because we all screw up. We all have bad days. But you know what? They have the right. If they want to boo, boo.
My guess is that he's not going to re-sign with the Mets. But if he doesn't, because if he does, then whatever, and he'll be a productive player. But if he doesn't, mark this down, that they're going to look back, and we're going to look back as a horrible trade. For them giving up Pete Crow Armstrong, who was going to be their center fielder of the future. He was a first-round pick, mm-hmm. I think, last year. And he'll end up being the center fielder, a stud center fielder for the Cubs. And they will have given him up for a couple of months of Javi Baez bitching and complaining.
Yeah. Well, I tell you
which
what.
Which would be fantastic. He scored a hell
of a run last night yesterday afternoon to win the game for the Mets.
What did they score, five in the... Was it five in the ninth to win it?
I don't know how many they scored in the ninth. I just saw the play that he scored on. We scored for first base, but it was a great play. Look, players do this sometimes. They will sit around and bitch about the fans, you know, and things like that. But to go out there on the field and
And
do that. It's just like, I remember I used to talk to Joe McEwing a lot about his time in New York, and he liked it there. He's like, look, everybody acts like they're so horrible in New York, but if you stand up, if you're there at your locker after you go
and you talk, just be honest.
You just go, I suck today.
I'm good with that.
You don't make any excuses.
That's how Boston was.
Yeah, they treat you with respect if you do that. They don't like the guys that duck and hide from the media.
Yeah, make excuses.
Don't make excuses.
Caught
a bad hop.
Don't throw your teammates under the bus because you screwed up.
Yep.
No, there's no reason.
Yeah.
I screwed up. I was terrible.
Yeah.
So that happens. Through the course of 162 games, 35 starts, you're going to stink a couple times, okay?
Yeah.
That's just the way it is.
And that's the thing is, like, you know, just because you get paid a lot of money doesn't mean that the fans have the right to do certain things, right? Like, they don't have the right to hit by battery or bricks or whatever at you, or maybe even, like, you have the right if they say personal things about your family or something like that. Like, it's but to boo you, like, they're booing your performance.
Yeah.
You know, they're booing you, and if you stink, you deserve it.
I'm sorry. They paid a lot of money to watch a good product, and you Didn't do it.
You're never going to win that battle.
No, you can't win that battle. No, you're right. You can't win that battle at all.
If you go out and say, you know what, I'd boo me too. Because some guys will say, I'd boo me too. If I was in the stands, I'm crap right now. You know, then the fans go, okay, this guy gets it. And then you actually have a chance to get him on your side.
You know, honestly, I don't feel like, I don't know that I've ever booed like a Royals player. I don't like, right. I don't boo Royals players. I just don't. I get pissed off.
Yeah.
And I'll curse under my breath. But I'll boo the hell out of the opposing players.
Right.
But that's what you're supposed to do. But like with the Chiefs, I don't think I've booed certain players. But I feel like we booed in the
There's
past.
There's times you wanted to.
Right, oh yeah. But we booed the hell out of like coaches' decisions. Oh, you're putting here? Boom! Fourth and boom!
And running the ball again.
Yeah, it's a boom! You know, they threw it out. That's three and out, and the team comes off. Boom! Yeah. There were a couple times of Sutton's defense. And they get,
yeah.
Boom!
Like, I think, you know. I think, to me, like, and I do think actually.
I've just never been into booing the team I root for.
I think Yankees and Mets fans, they hurt their own team a lot of times by doing that stuff. I don't think they help, you know, when they're... Cause like,
they booed Derek Jeter.
Yeah, to me, like...
I mean...
I feel like it's justified to boo your own guys if they're not trying hard or paying attention.
Yeah, you don't say you hit a fly ball and you just walk down to first base or a ground ball, hard ground ball, and they just kind of jog a little bit down to first base.
Or
it
maybe,
doesn't take that much effort to run something
out. If the whole team forgets how many outs there
that's
are.
That's right.
Oh, you forgot Steve Bono?
No, I booed the hell out of him.
Did you boo Lynn Elliott?
No.
You're too stunned at the whole process.
By the time, I was frozen, and by the third missed field goal, I was in tears.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I mean,
frozen tears.
I
was in tears.
I think the fans have a right. If a guy's not trying his best, if he's not paying attention, you know, if he's not focused, because, like, you're going to have bad stretches, right? Like, guys might try their hardest and still fail because it's a hard job. Somebody else is winning.
But I've seen Baez, and I've seen Lindor hit a ground ball or hit a fly ball and just basically peel off, say, I'm not putting forth any effort here, even though somebody could actually drop it. You know, that's when you deserve to be booed.
They paid money to come watch you play your best, and that's what Salvi talks about that all the time. Like, that's why he goes out with so much energy, because
that's
he feels
right.
Like, every so person you know, in there made a sacrifice.
No matter how bad a game Salvi's going to have, you're never going to boo him because you know he's given everything he's got.
Yeah.
So, no, that's good. I have no problem with that. There's times that guys need to be booed if they don't put forth the effort.
Does New Age Jake still boo players?
Sure. Absolutely. They deserve it.
I'm
sitting here trying to think of guys I've booed that played for Kansas City teams. They're few and far.
It's an isolated incident. You don't make a practice of that.
Right? No.
But the opposing team, you'll let them have it.
Oh,
won't you?
All the time.
Yeah. So this guy right here. That's what I'm asking. Because I don't know if I've been around anyone that boos.
Was that
the way?
Was
Jake
that
does.
Drinking, Jake?
Both.
Or?
It's not. You know, the booze helped the booze.
Hey, more booze leads to more booze.
Right.
That's right.
But I still got a good boo in me.
Oh, my dad's got the greatest boo. He
boo someone right now, Jake.
Boo! You suck! That's a good boo. My old man, but
New
my
York,
old man's
New
boos
York.
Was,
you suck.
You suck.
You suck.
No, Kansas City.
My old man,
suck.
He likes to boo the refs. That was his. He would boo the refs.
Someone's got to.
So when I was a kid,
Angel Hernandez.
We had season tickets.
I'd like to boo him.
My dad and my aunts had season tickets. They split at the KU basketball games, and they were up in the second to last row, way up in the corner. You couldn't see hardly anything. You could barely tell if the ball went in the basket or not. But my dad could see every foul call. You know, boo! All the poor people sitting around us were like. Man, this guy.
Where was this at?
This was at Allen Fieldhouse.
How in the hell, if you're a Kansas fan, would you ever boo an official at Allen Fieldhouse?
My dad was convinced that the refs were screwing us at every turn.
Are you kidding me? They have Kansas jerseys underneath.
That's how much my dad hates the refs.
Stripes.
That's how much my dad hates the refs.
We're getting into another topic here.
I've never heard of a Kansas fan booing refs at Allen Fieldhouse.
Yeah,
that's a hell of a boo.
I know. Good Especially God, when you're, man. Like I said, we were in the second to last row up in the corner. I mean, the worst play seats you could see, and the ref's like 5 feet from it. That was all ball, ref! Come on!
It probably was all ball. We'll be right back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB on this Wednesday, September 1st, 2021. Stephen St. John, Nate Buchanan, Jake Gutierrez, and Mike Boddicker. Right now, we're going to check in with Gary Lee's. Hey, Gary.
Yes?
I will be at Andy's Frozen Custard at their brand new location at 79th and Warnell today from 11 until 1.
Key lime.
Wow.
Get that key lime pie concrete. But today, 79th and Warnell from 11 until 1. What kind of weather will I enjoy for my remote today at Andy's?
Well, today is the first day of meteorological fall. And if you look outside on this September 1st, it is cloudy. We have a stratus deck, no rain, and it looks like fall. You're going to have like a fall-like atmosphere for most of the morning. By 11 a.m., I expect the stratus clouds to break up, and then they will allow us to warm up to about 83 to 85 degrees today.
Is he giving the weather?
I think so.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yes.
So the meteorological fall, is that different than like the equinox?
Yeah.
Oh, don't confuse me, Nate. Jeez.
So what's the meteorological fall? What is that?
Well, meteorological fall is we go, I guess. I'm part of them, right? Three months at a time. So December, January, and February are considered winter. March, April, May are spring. June, July, August, summer. And September, October, November, fall.
Makes the most sense.
It does kind of make sense, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The fall equinox will happen September the 23rd. The December equinox will happen around December 21st, I mean the winter equinox, winter solstice, I don't even know what it is.
Easy for you to say.
Right. Have you been drinking martinis early?
You know, here's a more important topic. Did you guys see Gary's new publicity photos, the studio photos?
No, yeah, new headshots.
He asked people on Facebook to vote. He didn't ask us. I voted on Facebook, and I said the raincoat picture. I'm going to get Mike Boddicker, Nate Buchanan, and Jake Gutierrez's thoughts.
Looks nice, very nice in a suit there.
Jake,
yeah.
You like this one? You're very nice in a suit.
Yeah. Good smile. Good smile.
Now he's like, he's got his arm folded like, oh, that's, I don't know.
That's a businessman.
What am I doing today? Look at me. Aha. Uh-huh. Then all look at
No chance.
Look at this guy.
That's terrible. That's
he's
just god awful.
Home
Gary.
Run right there.
Yeah. Got his hands
that's
way too far away.
That's a little slugger right there.
Put those hands down. You need those hands closer to your
now
body.
Now he's got his hands on his head. Like, look what I did. Yeah, I hit a home
that's
run.
That's not bad.
You need to get rid of the shirt and tie and go bare chested.
I'm a baseball player. Here's another one.
That's number one.
Yeah, that's it right there. No doubt about it.
A long yellow raincoat with the umbrella. Now
in your rubbers.
Now, you think this is good enough. This is the one I voted for. This ain't the one I voted for. This is what I voted for. You tell me, guys, if you like this. Now, there's what I like.
He's guessing.
He doesn't know.
He's guessing again, yeah.
That's getting the weather. What's the number one rule?
Look outside.
He's got his hand out there.
Look outside.
You guys, Stephen, I used your suggestion.
You know what? You know, I'm disappointed because my wife, we were watching the news last night, and she goes, did you see Gary's sports jacket and tie. She loved it.
Yeah,
you were very colorful.
That's
last
a new
night.
Jacket.
That was pretty cool. That was pretty cool. It fits you perfect.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
You guys just look. Listen, to you guys look at all my profile pictures. It's like crazy.
I like them.
Yep.
Oh boy.
What's the weather going to be like Friday, Saturday? I need to know, Gary.
I'm tweeting out the one that I.
Did you see what you know what today is, right? September 1st or what? August Statistics what? Day.
I don't know what he's talking
about.
I
have no idea. I still think he's into the martinis early.
Mm-hmm. 98 was the hottest temperature last month on the 11th. The coldest temperature was 61 degrees on the 2nd and 3rd of August. It never dropped into the 50s. We had 5.24 inches of rain, 1 inch above average. 16 days were 90 degrees or hotter, and it came in at 2.8 degrees above average for the temperature. So it was a hotter than average month. It didn't hit 100 degrees again. 98 was the hottest temperature all summer long. I believe it hit 98 four times this summer. So the last 100 degree day was in July of 2018. So to answer Boddicker's question, it's going to rain Friday night,
when?
Especially into Saturday morning.
Okay, that's all right.
It could affect the Royals game Friday night. So we'll see how that goes. And but Friday night and Saturday morning is the best chance, maybe. But there's a chance Friday morning, too. There's a little system as the jet stream starts getting stronger. What happens now is that the days are getting shorter. Colder air masses will begin developing over Canada, and that will cause the jet stream to get stronger and start dropping south, and cold fronts will get stronger and stronger and stronger. Hey, do you know what happened today in this segment?
You gave the weather?
Isn't that shocking?
Yeah, it is to me.
Somewhat,
yeah.
Nate, are you surprised?
I'm speechless.
I didn't even have to pull out the Farmer's Almanac. You actually gave the weather.
Yeah,
it's just amazing. So there you go. So once again, if you're just starting to listen, cloudy today. The sun will come out by about 11 a.m. when Stephen St. John is at the Andy's Frozen Custard.
Oh, yeah.
There's no way you can get him out. Zero chance you get him out.
Awful.
Zero chance.
That's just awful. Don't even want to go there, Steve. Yeah, that's awful.
So, Gary, my daughter had a dad joke for you today. She listens every day. She wants to hear your dad jokes, because she likes to tell them at school. So she had one for you today.
1 minute. Okay, I'm ready.
What has four wheels and flies?
A flying car.
A dump truck.
Jake?
Flies.
Flies. Oh, I got you.
Yeah.
I was thinking flies.
And flies.
I
guess
that's a good one.
Buzzing around the dump truck.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
That's really a good one. Good job.
Yeah, that's better than Lezax.
Have a great day, guys. That was fantastic. Here's Bob Hamilton.
Well, thanks, Gary. Don't get caught in a brownout this summer. Keep your AC and refrigerator running with a whole home generator. Better call Bob, 888-4-B-O-B. Remember, 913. Or BobHamilton.com.
Gary sounded so defeated at the end of it. Okay, guys.
Okay, we're done.
Back after this on WHB.
Sports Talk powered by fans. Sports Radio 810 WHB Kansas City. The power of sports.
All right, Kansas City. Stephen St. John here for Andy's Delicious Frozen Custard. I'm going to be there at their new location today from 11 until 1 o'clock. 79th and Warnell. Come out and see me. It's going to be a very festive atmosphere. Free kids Sundays for kids 12 and under. You could spin to win giveaways, enter to win Andy's for a year. There's going to be a chamber ribbon cutting at noon. We're also going to have wonderful prizes to give away for anyone that stops by. But most importantly, we're going to be enjoying the brand new location of Andy's Frozen Custard, and you could try their key lime pie concrete. They blend an entire slice of key lime pie in this damn thing. Why don't you come out there and eat it with me? All right, it's only available until mid-September, so you only have a few days left. But come on out and see me today from 11 until 1. It'll be 11 until fun. At Andy's Frozen Custard, it'll be a delicious remote at 79th and Warnell today from 11 to 1 right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB.